Welcome to the show, my friends. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. This is your host, David Yanis, with MidWatch with the Rev. We're adding one more piece of equipment here to make sure we get the shows right. You know, I had a great show with Jason Ware last week, and because you use computers, I was telling someone that this morning I was trying to solve something to finish paying or finish purchasing some books, and the system kept kicking out the credit card, and I didn't know what it was, and so I called them. They said their server was doing some kind of error on all the cards that were going through, and they had to actually manually push that in. Anyway, I told them that the technology may be getting smarter and being more advanced, but it still takes people to press the buttons and input things, no matter what, my friends. So the same thing with the recording studio here that we have when we're broadcasting. We record every single thing. I love that our words will live forever on the airwaves. And one of the ways we do that is we save an MP3 file of this, and it goes through. Well, I've always had some issues come up, whether when it was our old way of broadcasting, or through just using some certain streamer going right out, or when we moved over to the Chatcast servers, which I totally am in love with. They're just awesome. They do what they're supposed to do, except one thing is that if you reopen the Winamp after you've just recorded, it'll automatically record over what you just recorded. It'll automatically put a file on top of that, and that's what happened last week with Jason. So I needed something outside of that, outside of the computer, to record into a record deck. And so I'm using my Tascam DR40, and it looks like it's doing its job, but that's just another button I gotta press. So if you hear me coming on, hey, real quick sometimes, or you don't hear us on time like we're supposed to be at 11, we're still adjusting. I do want to get some more software. It's cost me about $700 to get a couple of things that I really want, maybe more than that, maybe about $800, $900, and with including the rack and the cables. And I'm going to put a new iPod player here, and including an iPod, and run it through there. And it'll also be able to play CDs, so I don't have to go and cut and rip the album when I get a guest. I can just put the CD in and cue up the song that's about to play. And then it's going to have a second device, another Tascam device, and it's going to be a recorder. It's going to record everything from CD to SD to the stat ones that they have, single stat, so it'll have everything, even recorded straight to a USB drive. So we're excited about that, because when we have people on the show, and they're live, they want a CD of this, or they have their little thumb drives, and we can just plug it all up and bam, have them a copy of this thing. So anyway, we're praying for those funds, about $800, maybe $900, and we'll just round it up at $1,000. And we have not put any money into the radio station for quite some time. When we first started, we put a lot of funds into the sound system that we have. It's not much of a sound system, but we had some other things that we were using before, and then we had to get a new computer. So we've put a few $1,000s in, but it's time to reinvest, and because we're growing, we're doing more things. In fact, we may have a shot at getting a celebrity here on the air with us in a few more weeks, but I will be also going out to the mission trip. That's right, we're going out next week. We have two shows that we're going to do, and then that's it, my friends. I will be back. That's not it forever. That's just it for then, and then I won't be back broadcasting live shows to the 17th of September. So I'm gonna take about a month off in between going mission trips and stuff. But we have so many shows on this system, it's just gonna play and play. So you're not gonna hear the same one twice. And if you do, well, it's just blessed. I really wish I would have got Jason Ware. We had a great show that day before the guest and during the guest, and it just was awesome. And we couldn't get that recorded, but now we have a system that, as long as I have batteries and I have memory card on this SD drive, then I'll be able to record our our backup copy, which could be our original copy down the road. So we're excited about it. We're trying to get things going. So we're believing for God to continue to bless. And I really believe he's going to bless. You know, the other day I saved $800 on our airline tickets. You know, I'm praying for $2,000. And I have the money for the airline tickets. We're planning to spend about $3,200. That's what it priced out to be. I was able to get them for $2,200. Can you believe it? God's math is awesome. It increases when you don't even see how it's going to increase. So that left us, that put $800 into the budget. So I don't have to pray for $2,000. I just have to pray for $1,200 now. See, that is how God does your math. He multiplies and he adds. It's amazing. And we're excited about that. So we just need about $1,200 more. And hey, if we got this far, I know God's going to take us the rest of the way for this mission trip to Kenya. Again, we're doing the Global Missions Broadcast Center is what we're planning to do. There's a lot of work in missions, a lot of work on the ground, and I have to go out there. We're going to do the regular services like we do, but then we're going to go ahead and we're going to minister well, I'm trying to skip away from the word crusade because overseas it just carries a negativism. It's negative when it's overseas. It just doesn't sound right for a lot of the people that we're trying to reach. And a good interview I had this past ICRS. It was an amazing interview. And when I was talking to Dagwood Howard Mills, and he was telling me that he changed from crusade because it's a negative word in the Muslim communities and around the world, not only even in Christian communities, and he changed it to campaign, and he's seen his ministry increase. He's seen a double, even triple in sizes. So, and I was, before I talked to him, I was already contemplating that. I was thinking, Lord, we need to change the word crusade, because I had another friend of mine that lives on the other side of the world, and Peter Stanway, say that that's just not a great word to be thrown around. So I want to make sure that I had a great word. Praise God. I want to make sure I had a great word coming in and changing people's lives as well. So what I did was I went ahead and changed it to campaign. So it's David Yannis Ministries Healing Campaign and Pastors Leaders Conferences. And Leaders Conferences. Believers and Leaders Conference. And I really believe that God is going to bless those that attend as we go out there. Now, the other thing is we added an extra day to our schedule because of the price change on the ticket. We had to take an extra day to make it work better. And because of that, we're going to be able to go and talk to some of the people out there that control the internet, people out there that control the power, and people out there that control different businessmen that can help us put this thing together, because I really believe Kenya is going to be the start of something really, really big. And I pray that you enjoy being a part of what we're doing. You're part of it. Just tuning in, you're able to pray for us. I tell everybody, you can do four things to us. You can pray for us. You can participate with us. You can sow your seeds and help us. And then you can also tell people about us. Those are the four things that you can do. And any one of those things you can do right now. So I appreciate it. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172. Kingwood, Texas 77325. If you want to write to David Yannis Ministries, you can. If you want to write to me, that's fine. You can email me david@revmedianetwork.com. That's david@revmedianetwork.com. You can also give us a call here at the ministry offices at 888-642-4767. And we're excited about that. Again, that number is 888-642-4767. We have several people email us for prayer requests, and people get their prayers answered. I believe in God. I believe that I can believe and agree in whatever healing or need that you have, and excite your faith that you're going to rise up and grab what God has for you. Then also, we have many people that call the 800 number, and they just call out of the blue, and they're surprised that I pick it up, and I pray with them if it's a prayer request. And one lady went to talk to me about my book, and I talked to her for a few minutes and told her thank you. She enjoyed the book, Almost Out of Grace. And it's all good, and we're all getting these things rolling. So all these things are happening. You're here with us. You're a part of it. And it is a blessed thing. What I want to do today, if I can get this iPad to work correctly without me goofing it up like I did last time. I really goofed it up last time. And I don't know why. It just didn't work well for me. And again, I'm new to the iPad. So forgive me if I don't do things like I'm supposed to on this thing. But we're gonna just check out this new interview, this interview that we have with Sherry Kagi at the ICR. She's awesome. She's one of my favorite guests. Beautiful, and she's just fun, and she's real. She's just real, and she has this very good heart. And we were talking just before we started this interview. We were talking about what are we going to talk about? And I've interviewed her so many times. It's like, okay, what's new happening? And we just had her on the air with us just a few months back, and from the ICRS before that, we're at the NRB, and then we're like, So anyway, here's the interview. I hope you enjoy it, and we'll be right back in just a few.
With my good friend, interviews are Sherry Kagi. Look at us. Hey.
Okay, I'm going to restart that from the beginning because it just did not start well, and I want to start it well. And it's not starting well. I told you, like I said, I am new with the iPad thing. So we're going to see if this works well. And it's not working well. Why not? There we go.
Back to the ICRS 2013.
Enjoy this.
My good friend, Miss Sherry Kagi. Look at us. Hey. And she's excited about being here, just as I'm excited about being here. Mm-hmm. We're like sitting here thinking, what are we going to cover?
I think we've pretty much written the book, right?
Yeah, we've done several interviews already, but you know what? That's fine. And we're going to talk about different things as well. But you know, what's been going on since the last visit? Have you been in any concerts, anything like that?
Yes. I think we've had a spring season since we were last together. And so I've been on the road and doing women's events and various and sundry ministry events. And
yeah. So how often do you get called out to do women's events?
It's usually they take place in the spring and in the fall.
Okay.
And so I have some things, you know, already coming on the fall events. I've been doing some, more speaking. I think we might have talked about that.
Yeah.
So speaking on various themes, I did a couple of conferences this spring, around the theme of, joy.
Okay.
Psalm 126, has this verse, it's, our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. And then just talking about how sometimes we have to choose joy, you know, that that it doesn't always just sort of happen. Sometimes we have to intentionally choose it and walk in it. And
yeah.
So encouraging women in that. And
and so that's pretty good. So mm-hmm. have you been out a lot lately in the spring and stuff?
Yes. And then usually summer is lighter. And,
is it usually your events, or you invite to different events? Or?
Yeah, I'm invited. Churches have me in to be a part of their event, it seems.
And how long have you been doing that?
The women's
thing? Yeah, the women's thing.
Yeah, it just seems to be more in the last few years that I seem to relate with that audience.
Yeah,
Having been married for 22 years as I was, and now being divorced, I can... I just led worship at a singles retreat. And
how was that for you? And, did you feel kind of odd, or did you feel
Well,
good?
It was strange, because I had... I could share stories. I could share from a perspective of a single person, to that audience. Some who have been divorced, or some who were widowed, or some who have never been married, whatever. And I even got so bold as to read some excerpts from my journal. Which is sort of dangerous.
Yes, he's really getting dangerous out there.
But to just show, to show a little bit of vulnerability there, because I think that's what people want.
Yeah.
I mean, they want to know you're a real person, that you have brokenness, and that and yet that you cry out to God in
absolutely.
Your brokenness.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, because you look at it back in the earlier, like, well, I guess 90s and mm-hmm. and 80s, there was a facade almost that there was perfect people that didn't have issues. They had it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I mean, you still see that sometimes, but mm-hmm. it's like you have to know that people are real. People get mm-hmm. hurt. You get mm-hmm. hurt.
Yeah.
Your feelings get hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about your album, So I Can Tell.
I'm still telling about that album. It's going great. I just did the Praise the Lord show, TBN.
Yeah,
so I went and taped that before their live audience there.
Which one?
Hendersonville.
Hendersonville, okay.
Yeah, and then it aired, and it's aired a few times since,
yeah.
simply because I'm getting people emailing me.
Yeah, isn't that?
And people ordering.
That's nice. And they're ordering the book?
They're ordering the CD through the website.
So
and
did you sing?
Yes,
okay.
I sang.
Which part?
Two songs, So I Can Tell and There Will Be One Day, and then
okay.
I had an interview segment with Jason Crabb, but... so somebody heard it, because I'm getting emailed. People, I think when we when we're willing to share some of our story,
yeah,
then people feel free. They feel permission to share their story. Perhaps they've never told a living soul, you know. So I've had people emailing and wanting to tell their stories. Anyway, I'm just grateful. Grateful to be sharing the fruit that's come in through this album. So
do you like having your ministry that you go out and share with women and stuff like that? I mean, you grew up basically around ministry, right? In songs and stuff.
Yeah. I just sang at a Lutheran church. My childhood church was a Lutheran church,
okay.
And that was the place where God first began, you know, wooing me, and I remember singing, or playing for the church offertory, from a young age I was around ministry and even participated in the services. I was an altar girl, where you light the candle at the beginning of the service and then you snuff it out at the end of the service. I was in the Lutheran
that was
church.
You heard it get so far.
No, never did. Never did. We were safe that way, but. So I guess that's been always a part of my life, and I think I can think of many times. I mean, there were times in my brokenness where I didn't maybe feel like going to church. Mm-hmm. Usually, I love going to church. I love to be there, but there were times where, I mean, it was a conscious choice.
Yeah.
But I went expectant, and countless times God has met me if I'll just show up.
Yes, you know? That's how he does.
Yes.
It takes a step of faith. It takes you going out and doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times
mm-hmm.
I look at what I'm doing. I'm like, okay, Lord, we know we need to get this done. And I just go do it. And then
yeah.
that provision comes in.
Yes.
Or that breakthrough comes in. Or mm-hmm. whatever has to happen, happens.
Mm-hmm.
But if I just sat in my living room, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like, and I tell my family mm-hmm. this all the time. It's like, the safest place for me is in the complete will of God.
Oh, that's well said.
If I'm in the will of God, I can be in a jungle. And if I'm in the will of God doing mission work, that's the safest place on earth for me.
Yeah.
Even safer than my own living room, because mm-hmm. I'm in the will of God.
That's really, really good.
And you have to be mm-hmm. like that. So mm-hmm. the your album has been getting played out at the radio stations and stuff, getting a lot of airtime.
Yes, I'm grateful. There Will Be One Day is the second single we've released to Inspo formatted stations. And I actually had a, you know, back in the day, you know, you talked about the 90s and all.
Yeah.
You know, I had great success at radio. I had 9 number one Christian radio singles and all that. Just means a lot of people have heard your stuff, you
know?
And now there's a best of CD with all those hits, you know. But it's a different day. But I had a top 10. So There Will Be One
good.
Day made
that's
in
good.
The top 10 and then top 20 Billboard. And so,
oh, really?
So people, I think, are, you know, responding to that song, and because it's about the hope of heaven and you know, the sorrow and the grief that we face sometimes. That's what the song is. Oh God of comfort, comfort me in these sufferings. I need to know you in this grief. You know, it's those kind of lyrics.
Mm.
But then pointing to, you know, in Revelation 21, where it talks about there will be no more tears, or that he'll wipe away every tear from their eye. And it goes on to say, behold, I am making everything new.
Mm.
And write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And that is the hope that we have, that the things are crooked will be made straight. You know, the things are wrong will be made right.
Mm.
And so
you can
we just
feel
the
passion when you talk about that.
Yes.
You can feel the passion from your heart.
Yes, we long for that. We were made for home.
Mm.
You know, we're living here
yeah.
on this earth. This is our temporary home. But we were made for our home, our eternal home. And this is just part of our experience, you know. But we are passing through to another life.
Amen.
Know? And anyway, so we have to make the most, as believers, we have to make the most of every opportunity.
Absolutely.
And draw as many as we can to the love of God through our testimony, through our gifts, through our resources, so there'll be a great crowd around the throne.
Amen. I was telling Sherry before we came on the air that I was been playing her video on the show that we made, the last interview that we had, and her video was, it's like, I think 6 or 7 minutes. It was enjoyable.
Oh.
It was, you talked about almost every song on there, and it just, it was well made, and we had a lot of good responses from it. So
cool.
I want to encourage you that you, what you're doing matters. It touches people's lives, and you know, God's going to do some awesome things with you.
Thank you.
Encourage the viewers out there. I know that we don't have to go into every single thing we went to last time, but encourage them that, you know, God is a God of rebuilding.
You know, I think of a another snapshot of another Sunday where I was, it was an Easter Sunday, and I was so broken, walking in such hard places in my marriage. And I went to my home church in Nashville, and Easter is when you're supposed to be, you know, celebrating our, you know, the risen Lord, and it's a happy occasion. You might even bring in a special horn section for that Sunday, right? You know, but I was so broken, and at the start of the service, they ask everyone to stand, you know, as the music begins, and I just was crying, you know, the tears just coming down my face, and I looked up at my best friend standing next to me, and I said, I can't worship. And she said, it's okay just to receive. And of all the things she could have said, I mean, I think that was just a word fitly spoken. It's okay just to receive. And so she gave me permission to be in my heap of tears. And then I could begin to listen to the sound of the believers singing around me. And my faith was weak, but I could sort of borrow their faith for a minute and the strength of that. And God was meeting me in there, but just by what she said, and by and so I share all that to say, maybe that's you. You know, maybe you're in a season of brokenness, and you find it hard to worship, and even maybe you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, but you're in that place, and I want to say it's okay just to receive.
Amen.
And how God brings our stories back around. I was with that same friend in that same church in another, just a regular Sunday, and start of the service, I'm now standing up ready to worship, and she now is the one sitting next to me, and tears in her eyes, and I know where she's walking, where her burden is, walking with a son who has struggled with addiction, you know, and I just kind of leaned over and I said, you know, a wise woman once said to me, it's okay just to receive.
Amen.
And she nodded, and knowing that knowing smile that only can be exchanged between friends. But anyway, so just receive and trust by faith that He will pull you through. And you talked about rebuilding, that He will restore you once again, and He'll use that specific thing to make you a more mature believer and more effective and useful for the kingdom.
Amen. Give them your website. Let them know where they can find
you. Oh, sure. Come visit me. SherryKagey.com.
She's so come visit me.
SherryKagey.com. It's SherryKagey.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. We'll be right back.
Amen. Amen. That was a great, great broadcast there, and just right at the end. Anyway. She's always a wonderful, wonderful interview. And I'm going to start doing that just because we have so much stuff that we have together. I'm going to just pull these interviews out. As long as I have my wife's iPad, I could do this. And it's just a whole other way of being able to minister with you and bless you. Is sometimes I have something that's just, I have to tell you in faith, like about the missions, the global missions, and encouraging you. But there's a lot of times I need to squeeze an extra interview in just to encourage you. I'm sure you were encouraged by Sherry's story and by her heart. And I know that God is able to bless and make good things happen for your life. You just got to trust God. You got to trust God that He is able to take a bad situation and turn it around. I told you on Tuesday how when I got back from my trip in St. Louis, we had so many things just hit us and knock us around. And so many, I call it threats from the enemy. Just come in and shouting and trying to scare you, whether it's bills, whether it's unexpected news, whether it's something that went wrong while you were out. Do you know by the end of the month, 30 days or so, everything was calm and soothing and worked out. Even getting the things that we need for this mission trip, even getting these things, God was able to do it. He was able to make it happen. There wasn't anything I had to go do extra. He's brought in the funds. He knows where I'm at. He knows what I'm doing. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing to see what the Lord is doing and how He's doing it. Because there's so many times we try to do it ourselves. But when we just trust God, don't be afraid when that devil comes in and flexes his muscles. They're little wimpy muscles. Jesus' muscles are so much bigger. I see. I used to see a shirt. Remember, it's called God's Gym. It used to be my favorite shirt to go minister in. And it had his muscle-bound guy on the cross. And it was like just wow. You know, God in spiritual strength and faith can do anything. Anything you need. So when you start getting worried, when you start to wonder, oh, how am I going to get this done? How will I make this happen? Just trust God. Just trust God that he can get it done, that he can make it happen, that there's nothing, absolutely nothing impossible for him. Look at your situation and pick up your hands and praise him. Don't let your situation get you mad, change your emotions. Sure, you're going to get a little sad. Sure, you're going to get a little upset about what's happening. Sure, I mean, that's normal. You're going to get that. But I tell you this, my friends, I tell you this. You keep yourself excited about God. Keep yourself just completely backed into what God has you to do and trust him. Make sure that you are following him in every avenue that you can. Make sure that you're doing everything you can and believing that he can bless you and make things happen right for you. And when you do that, God's going to do it. He's going to do it. He is just that awesome. That he's going to make things happen. Now, I'm not going to tell you, you're not going to ever miss the meal. You may. But does it hurt us? Sure, we may be a little hungry here and there. But when God is able to do it, when he is able to make this happen, you just got to trust him and believe. You just have to trust him and believe that he can do amazing, amazing things. All right, we're going to go to break real quick, and I believe I have a commercial lined up for you, and I don't think it's ready to go, but I'm going to get there eventually. We'll see. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Deep within my fallen nature, I feel the burning flame of anger, of hatred. It's in every human heart. It's at the core of all human conflict. Our only hope is the gospel of peace. I'm Perry LaHaye. My friends at HCJB Global just told me about Taseer. He once was a Palestinian fighter trained as a sniper to kill Jews. His hate was so deep, he even taught kids that it was their duty to fight and kill Israelis. Then Taseer met Karim. Karim was the nicest guy Taseer had ever met. Taseer couldn't figure out why, and he begged Karim to tell him. Karim told him that he was a follower of Jesus, and then he said, Taseer, if you want the same peace that I have, you need God to change your hateful heart. The truth cut deep into Taseer's angry heart, and he surrendered his life to Jesus. Today, Taseer reaches out to Muslims and Jews with the good news of Jesus. Taseer is doing his part to reach Muslims, but he can't do it alone. There are only 3 workers for every 1 million Muslims. So go! Cast yourself in at frontiersusa.org.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
I asked Matt Caesar, the 2 sports athlete from Villanova, if prayer was a factor before he gave bone marrow to a 2-year-old girl with leukemia.
Yeah, I think it did a lot. Myself and my family and friends prayed every night for this little girl and just wanted her to survive and be the best she could be, you know, being able to live a good life, a normal life, because, you know, she was young. She was close to 2 years old, but, I mean, once she starts to get older, she's going to be thanking me for this, you know, and it's an awesome thing to do, and of course, you know, we prayed every night for her.
Someone said prayer moves the hand that moves the world. God tells us to burden him with whatever burdens us, because prayer does change things. Now go to a second look at sports.org.
Back to the future with the faith of the fathers. The greatest need in today's churches is to return to the faith of the fathers and to preach the gospel of men like George Whitefield. That was the gospel of the apostles that changed the world. The new feel-good gospel that never mentions sin and judgment is another gospel. The apostle Paul said, though I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. God said to the false prophets of Jeremiah's day, you've healed my people slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. This soft preaching only produces false converts and false hope. The true gospel frees men from sin. Those who are only healed slightly are those who are only awakened and never repented of their sins. ChurchOfTheKingMacAllen.com on Ware Road, just south of Trenton, 585-4402. Let's side with God against ourselves and find life. Come see us at Church of the King this Sunday at 10:30 a.m.
Hi, I'm Peter Stanway from The Way Christian Ministries. Before I was born again, my mind took me on a complex journey of self-deception that separated me from Jesus. Even now, as a born-again believer, it would do the same if I allowed it. However, I now have the ability to discern God's thoughts from my thoughts. I can take my ungodly thoughts captive and bring them into line with the mind of Christ. Very often we make excuses for our behavior and we argue our point to justify our deception. But revelation of the Word of God divides lies from the truth, and that revelation will demolish our argument. If we read and believe what God's Word says, our thinking will be renewed and we will rise up in victory. We will soar above the demolished rubble of self-focused nonsense that pretends to be the reason for our lack of active faith. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us your mind. Amen.
Family expert Trace Embry with insight for today's culture.
Good character is what any good parent wants for their kids. But don't parents first need to know what determines good character and how it's built? The godly parent knows that these answers are found in Scripture. But these paths to good character often contradict pop psychology and political correct worldly wisdom. The uncomfortable truth is that building good character most often comes not from our triumphs, but through our tragedies, our struggles in life. Is worldly wisdom what we want as the desired end for our young?
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily, 24/7, on your online connection.
Welcome back to the show. We have our guest, Ms. Brenda Garrison, with us. How are you doing, Ms. Brenda?
Doing great today. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing good. We're excited to have you on the air with us, and we know that God is going to have something special for us. So,
thanks for having me.
Amen. Well, tell us just a little bit about yourself, then we'll jump into your book.
Sure. I've been married for almost 30 years. We have three girls, my husband and I. Katie, who also contributed to the book, will turn 27 in a few days. And our middle daughter is 24. She's a fourth grade teacher and married. And our youngest daughter, Carrie, is a sophomore in college. So I've been writing for quite a few years and being a mom and speaking to women's groups and just trying to encourage them and help them to know everything God has for them.
Amen. Amen. So you've been following God for quite some time?
I'm sorry?
You've been following the Lord for quite some time?
Yes. I was young, probably about 9 or 10, and my mom's friend had a 5-day club, a good news club with Child Evangelism Fellowship. That is a lot of letters. She hosted that in her home, and we went to that after school, and there I accepted the Lord and have been, you know, doing my best to grow and follow Him ever since, you know, sometimes better than others.
So, amen. Amen. So what led you to write your book, Love No Matter What?
Our oldest daughter, Katie. She's been a strong-willed child since like 2 weeks old. she's always been a challenge. And junior high started getting rough, and for a good reason. It was tough. The kids were not really nice in junior high, and high school got more difficult. And then right after she graduated, she came to us and she told us she was moving out. She wanted to use her college money to live on until she got a full-time job. And of course, she didn't have a full-time job lined up, but this was her plan. Kind of half-baked. And, you know, it's just like, this doesn't make sense to anybody. You know, why would you derail college and spend your college money on an apartment and blah, blah, blah. But at that moment, with view of everything we had been through, Gene and I realized this was going to happen. With or without us, it was going to happen. So we decided we needed to get on board with this. And in that moment, God just showed me, you have got to start parenting differently. You have got to start relating to this child differently. And that was the beginning of my journey of becoming a parent that could show love no matter what and build relationship even through the hard times. It really was a turning point for me.
Mm, that's amazing. Now, when you started writing the book and everything, how did you get Katie involved? And why did you want to get her involved?
Well, that was such a gradual process. I can't remember, like, exactly the moment. But I had started speaking on this topic before I started writing the book. And just talking to more and more parents and just hearing their hearts, I mean, they would just barely say any, you know, I barely say hi to them and they start pouring out their hearts to me. And I could see this was really something, you know, that we were all experiencing, but nobody wanted to talk about it with people they knew because they felt a certain amount of, they didn't want to be judged, they didn't want to be their child to be judged. So I started to see, you know, we're as a church, the body of Christ, parents in general, we're not handling this well when our kids make decisions we don't agree with. And so Katie and I, you know, our relationship was, you know, we were progressing as we were working through this, and she was living on her own. We were making progress, and she has always been a huge supporter of my writing and my speaking. And so I started working on this more and more, and I started processing it with her. And then the book contract became available, and we decided to write a book about it. And I don't know, I was just, I guess we were just talking, and just, you know, it'd really be great to see what Katie thought. My publisher thought it'd be a great idea to see what Katie thought. So we just made it so that I could just hand her a chapter, and she could just write as much or as little as she wanted of what she was thinking, what she wishes that we would have known as her parents at that point, or what she learned, just whatever came to her mind. And we just gave her that freedom to put, you know, her inserts into each chapter.
And how old was Katie at the time?
Well, let's see. The book was released in probably just a couple years ago. She was probably about 24, 25 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we really processed. We've been through a lot of working this process that we talk about in the book of building relationship and everything that goes along with that. And then we had been talking a lot as we were working on the book and working on speaking material. It was really a good experience for both of us to see how the other person was thinking and you know, just some real good therapy for both of us.
Amen. Amen. How long did it take you to put the book together?
Let's see. I would say just probably maybe 4 months, maybe something like that. But again, we had been working on it for so long before. We've been, you know, doing the speaking and processing for every group. I, you know, come back and rework it and add some more stuff. So it had been in process for probably 2 or 3 years before I actually sat down and wrote it out as one whole book.
Now,
and I also, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to add real quick, too. It's just not my story, my and Katie's story and my husband's story. I interviewed lots of other families and adult children and got their stories as well. So it's a lot of experiences that if you don't, can't relate to me, then maybe you can relate to another mom or an adult child and what they were going through.
Amen. Well, I was just going to say that that it's amazing how God opened up a ministry for you, for moms and parents as well, and to encourage them through this whole situation that you're going through. Did you think God was going to open up a ministry like you have today?
Never. I was just trying to get through the next day, really, and not ruin it with my daughter. That's what I was thinking.
That's funny how you're also how you're describing how you could just sit down and start talking to people and they start pouring out their soul to you. God just put an anointing on you to retrieve that information and also to minister to them as well. And did you have any ministry training at all before, or just going
well,
with your gut?
I don't think I would say not really formal training, but I've been doing speaking since I can't remember for how long, probably a good 10 years before this. I've been, you know, my first book came out in 2007, Queen Mom, and I've been doing ministry and speaking and writing throughout all that time. So everything that you do, as you well know, prepares you for the next thing that God brings to you. So it's been a stair-step process, that's for sure.
Now, were you surprised about how many kids, after they graduate, were you surprised at the statistics on that, how many of them leave the Lord?
Oh, I really was. I really was. I kind of heard it off and on. And Josh McDowell is the one that has done this estimate that between 60 and 90% of kids when they graduate leave the church. So, yeah, it really was surprising, heartbreaking. But yeah, when you think about it, it really is. It's a totally different time that our kids are living in than what we've ever lived in before.
Oh, absolutely. So what are some of the steps that you can help retrieve some of those children back?
I tell parents, my whole thing is we need to build relationship with our kids. That's what they want. They want authentic relationship. They want it with us. They want it with God. They want it with whomever. And I think one of the first, because without that relationship, we have no platform to parent. They're not going to listen. They're going to become embittered against us. We need relationship, because without relationship, we have nothing with our kids. We have no influence, no way to help them, and no way to hold the door open to God. So I just tell parents a lot of times, just, you know, prayerfully sit down with God and say, God, what do I need to apologize to my child for? And I'm not saying the parent is the one at fault, but the parent is the adult. The parent is supposed to be the bigger person, and they need to be the first one to act on this. And just let God show you what you need to go and apologize to your kid for. And, you know, he may be hardened. He may not accept it right away, but you're still obeying the Lord, and you're still doing your part to open the door to relationship with your child.
Mm, that's good.
And then after that, I just say, you know, pursue your child in relationship, whatever speaks love to him. Be there for him. And that just, those two things kind of just, they very much set the platform, set the foundation for building that relationship, and outside the fact that your kid's making decisions that you don't agree with.
Amen. Now, what about that, my way or the highway parent? What would you say some of the dangers are in that?
Oh, I think the dangers are we're telling our kids that there are two ways to do life, my way and the wrong way. And, of course, that assumes that our way is totally biblical, which, you know, none of us are walking totally right with God. I mean, we all have sin in our lives. And, again, back to our kids crave that authenticity. They know that we are totally being hypocritical when we are that way, because we cannot be perfect all the time. And we need to show them that God has made each of us so different, so unique, and he wants us to be the unique person he made us to be. And so many parents say, you know, there's right music, there's wrong music. There are right clothes, there are wrong clothes. There is, you know, everything is a right or wrong. And that's just not true. There's so much room for creativity and personality. So many parents want to come down and say everything is right or wrong. And instead, it's like, this is a preference. You know, I like some of the older, faster hymns. Those aren't right. Those aren't wrong. There's some great praise and worship music out there today. It's not right and it's not wrong. You know, there is not just one right or wrong thing. It's preference. And I think parents need to back up and say what's important here, and let their kids express themselves within the boundaries of the Bible, and get to know who they really are, and let the kids do that too.
It's hard letting go, isn't it?
It is. Oh, we're so fearful that something's going to happen, that we're going to lose control. Hello, you never had control. But we have to remember, you know, God has them, and God is the only one who can truly affect change in our kids' lives. Yeah, we can do a lot, but we need to release them into God's hands and then, you know, parent them what God shows us, but realize that God is really the total parent that can totally take care of our kids.
Absolutely. Now, when they're going off to school, let me ask you this. Was Katie your oldest at the time?
She is the oldest, and she graduated from college in May. She did what I call the zigzag route. Took her a couple extra years, but she graduated, and she'll be going to grad school in a couple of weeks, so we're really excited for her.
Now, how many more were at home while Katie was out?
Well, let's see. They've all been at home. Kelsey was married in December, so they have all been here off and on between college and different things. So, yeah.
So did going through this with Katie help you understand how to help with the other kids?
Oh, my word, yes. It totally changed the way I think. It really did, because I was my way or the highway parent. And it totally opened up my eyes, especially for Katie as an artist. So there is so much creativity. There's so much different ways of looking at things. So it definitely changed the way that I parent, the way I think about things. I'm not as hard as I used to be. I'm not, you know, as strict. And one thing that has really helped me understand my kids and myself and my husband as well is the difference in people between introverts and extroverts.
Okay.
And there is such a difference between the way an introvert and an extrovert perceive life and approach life. And, of course, I'm an extrovert. Katie and my youngest daughter and my husband are introverts. And I kept trying to pull them out and help them to be extroverts. They don't want to be extroverts. They like being introverts. And so that has really helped me. Just anything we can get to help us understand our kids better is going to be so helpful in our parenting.
Now, how do we become a student to our child?
Well, I think first we just need to be quiet. Just stop talking and step back and observe. And when we're not talking, I bet our kids will start talking, especially if they're introverts. And just to see, you know, think even when they were children, what lit up their face? What lights up their face now? Where do they spend their time? Or what is their, what are their interests? Do they prefer to be in conversation in the evening or first thing in the morning? You know, just so many things. If you were going to get to know someone, how would you get to know them? Do that with your kid. Just totally back away and look at them as a person and get to know them as a person.
Mm. That's good news. I love your title, Love No Matter What, because that's how God loves us.
Exactly, David. And that's one thing I want parents to see and hopefully to take away from the book is that, you know, we're trying to be the father of the prodigal. We're trying to be God. Not that we are God, but we want to show God to our children in the way we love them, in the way we forgive them, in the way we give them healthy, reasonable boundaries, in the way we cheer them on, and the way we speak their love language. We want to show them, this is how God loves you, and this is how I love you.
Mm. That's powerful. Now, when the parents and anyone actually that's read your book and stuff and they put it down, what do you want them to get? What do you want them, the message you want them to get?
I want them to get that without that relationship, they have nothing. And this may be them needing to confess and get rid of their pride and go to their child and say, I've messed up. I want a relationship with you. They're still going to need to do, because kids are still going to have to face the consequences. They're still going to have to abide by house rules and go to school and all those types of things. But I want the parent to be able to show the child, you are my priority. Because I think when kids know that is so powerful. Even if the kids are doing stuff the parents don't like, that is still a deterrent to keep them from doing worse things. Because, you know, Katie didn't do, you know, terrible, terrible things. So I really do think that our love and our, you know, the foundation of our relationship kept her from doing things that she might have done had she been embittered towards us.
Mm, that's true. Now, what are some things that, as parents, that we can do to create some healthy boundaries? And why are boundaries even necessary?
Well, they really do give all of us security. I mean, we, as adults, we appreciate the laws of our cities, of our country, that we know that there's going to be a reasonable amount a reasonable amount of law, I guess, you know, and security in that. And Katie and my other girls have noticed that in their other friends and different kids they've seen in school. When the parents step back and kind of just let whatever happen, the kids just act out because they feel insecure and like nobody cares and nobody's paying attention and who's going to be in charge of this. So we do need boundaries. We all do. God has given us healthy boundaries. He's given us boundaries for our safety and to keep us, you know, our well-being. And we need to do the same for our kids. We just need to be careful that we don't make everything a rule.
No.
We do is safe. Yeah.
Amen. Now, you know, there's parents out there that they're hearing you, but they're not hearing you. they still want to control that life. They still want to make decisions for their kids. How's that going to affect their kids? And is that going to push them back further, or is that going to create a bad relationship with them? Or what kind of advice do you have for those?
Yeah, both. In fact, when I first started speaking in this, I had this visual aid that I never could quite develop to use it. But I kept thinking that the harder we pulled on Katie, the more demands we made of her, the harder we were. It was just like pulling a rubber band back and taunt. And when you release it, the farther you pulled it back, the farther it's going to fly. And God just gave me that visual that, you know, what we do can either draw our kids closer to us or it can push them away from us. And I want parents to think, is this thing that you're making an issue of, whether it be a hair color or I talked to somebody yesterday whose daughter wanted to dye her hair green, you know. So are you willing to let a hair color be an obstacle between you and your child? Is this going to be an issue that you really want to go to battle over? Or it really doesn't matter because in a few washings, it'll be gone. So I think parents really need to realize, does everything need to be an issue, or are there some things that we can just agree to disagree on?
Mm, that's good. At what point would a parent know that it's time to get professional help?
I think when the household, when the family is in an uproar, when total communication relationship is broken down, when the child is physically is doing things that are physically unsafe, or you feel like a member of the family is going to be unsafe, definitely never hesitate to get, you know, good Christian professional help that that can help you and help your kid.
Mm. That's some good advice. Give us the website where they can get your book.
Sure, they can get my book anywhere. My website is www.brendagarrison.com. I love to have people come and visit and sign up for my email newsletter and check out the website. My book is available on Amazon. It's available in your local Christian bookstore. It's available on CBD.com. So anywhere you can buy books, you can get my book.
Amen. And just before we go, I want you to answer one more question, if you can.
And, sure, I'd love to.
How important it is for, like, aunts and uncles to be supportive during this? I know that in the book it talks about Katie. I'm saying her Aunt Lisa was supportive. How important was that for Katie? And how important it is for us to, on the outside, you know, we don't know what's going on, but on the outside, what can we do?
Oh, my word. That is a great question, David, and nobody's asked me that one yet. Thank you for bringing that up, because it is so important. If there have been, like I said, my sister Lisa, others of my friends have just leaned in and loved on her. And if there is a breakdown between the parent, how vital is it that other people are pouring into her? And even if they don't know the extent of what's going on at home, they can become a safe place, a safe person, a refuge, you know, that voice of reason in their child's life. So, yeah, if you have a relationship with kids, just, you know, love on them. Just show them how proud you are of them and praise their successes and the good things you see in their lives. And, and just be there for them, because that can really make a huge difference. It really does.
Amen. I mean, and you'd rather a family member or a friend from the family be the one giving them that encouragement and that nourishment than someone else. So that's going to build them. That's going to encourage them. You have any speaking engagements coming up? Anything you want to announce while you're here?
Oh, let's see. We've got, we're doing the Round Lake Retreat in the beginning of October. I think it's the 4th and the 5th, and that's in Ohio, at the Round Lake Retreat in Ohio. And then also we'll be at, the two churches are combining for a retreat, which I think is a great idea. So if you think your church is too small to host a speaker, partner with another church. I just love that idea. So in Indiana, Bloomington, Indiana, the South Union Christian Church and the Sherwood Oaks Christian Church are partnering together and hosting me for a retreat the first weekend of November.
Oh, wow. And you're doing a radio tour. Tell us about that real quick.
Well, that's what I'm doing right now. Yes, it's a radio tour. We're just basically, this is the very beginning, and then really the next, the last 2 weeks of August, as many radio programs as my publicist can book. I just want to encourage parents to do this well, because our kids, if we don't pull in and have relationship with them and parent well from that relationship, they are going to look for what they need somewhere else. And there's so many bad things out there. We don't want to send them somewhere else for what we can give them and what God can give them. And I just want to really help parents do that well, so that they're not needlessly pushing their kids away.
Amen. Brenda, give them your website one more time.
Sure. It's www.brendagarrison.com.
Amen. Thank you so much for being on the show, and we hope you enjoyed it as well. I try and keep the tone very talkative and informative and loving, so I appreciate you being on here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I very much enjoyed it.
All right. God bless. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye.
Amen, my friends. That was a really good interview. I really enjoyed that. Remember, get Brenda's book, Love No Matter What. If you have teenagers, or you have even preteens, or even little ones, you're going to need this book eventually. They're going to grow up. I'm going to give you a secret here. They're going to grow up. They're going to grow up, and they're going to do what they want to do. The Bible says, raise up a child, you know, in the love of the Lord. And when you're faithful, when they grow up, they're going to follow the Lord. And you just continue to raise up the child. And raising up a child also means raising up when they come out of the house. You need to still keep raising them and help them with decisions. You know, I tell my son, I tell my son this every single time. I tell him, because he's the one that makes bad decisions most of the time. And he acts out of emotion or out of intent versus out of compassion and out of logic. And I tell him, make good decisions. Make good decisions, because when you make those good decisions, God's going to be able to honor those good decisions. But when they don't make good decisions, because he doesn't make them often, I'll be honest, he doesn't do it often. And I'm still loving, I'm still supportive, and he knows the consequences. But when you trust God, I'm trying to remember the scripture. Give me a second. Raise up a child the way he must go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm paraphrasing, of course. Anyway, that's what I want you to understand, is that when you have kids, when they're out there, and when they're outside of your realm of influence, protection, and they're gone, you got to trust God with them. Give your kids to the Lord, just as Samuel's mother did. Give your kids to the Lord and honor God by trusting him, and pray and believe. And if I pray that you continue to raise your kids up with the Lord, you raise them up in the Lord, and they will not depart from it. As they get older, they're going to understand it. They're going to see your prayers. They're going to see your testimonies. They're going to see the things that you have believed in, and they're going to believe that. Remember, go to BrendaGarrison.com to get her book, but you can get it anywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Support your Christian bookstore. Go out there and get a book from there. They're the same price if you buy them everywhere else. Might as well go into the bookstore and give them some revenue to continue that store to keep running. And this Thomas Nelson book, I love the Thomas Nelson authors. They're awesome. So get that book, BrendaGarrison.com. You can also find out about her schedule and her radio tour, where she's going to be next on the air. And we really appreciate Miss Brenda for being on the air with us. We are about to be out of here. If we're getting the signal, we're at the 12 o'clock mark. And we're going to catch you next time on the Midwatch. Remember, email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. Visit all our sites, davidyannisministries.com, Rev Media TV. Tonight, Sally Lloyd is on Rev Media TV, so you want to see that. She's written, you all know about Sally Lloyd and her children's book. I had her at the NRB, and it was a great, great interview, and we're excited about that as well. So, very good interview today. We just got that one finished up. Next week, we got David A. White, and we got Karen Jensen from the ICRS. Those are a couple of the few of the ones that I have put that ICRS. ICRS, we started in September as far as broadcasting them, and I put those two because Karen just released her book and then she also changed publishers with McCain. So we're going to try and get her on the air on the radio as well before we head out. Anyway, we love you. God bless you, and I'll see you next week on the Midwatch. God bless you, my friends. Pray for us as we continue to grow in what God has called us. We love you. God bless you.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.